Hey guys, this is Wiseacre. I'm here to read to you some sex ed homework I received a while back. And it is titled Sexual Dreams and Fantasies. We all dream. We dream of the possible and impossible. We dream to complete daydreams or to test ourselves and to imagine other worlds. We may pretend to be astronauts or A students, artists, or great athletes. We may imagine ourselves to be particularly handsome or beautiful or dream of great wealth and fame. And because sex is an important part of all our lives, we often choose to dream of it. Sexual dreams and fantasies are a natural way to experiment safely with sex in our imaginations. But, nevertheless, sexual dreams and fantasies aren't often openly discussed or explained. Our society began to accept more openly the sexual part of humanness with the start of what was called a sexual revolution more than 20 years ago. There has probably never been a time in American history when sex was treated more openly, whether in movies, television, advertising, music, or books. But despite all this publicity, we still aren't truly enlightened about sex. We aren't always able to deal with sexual questions in a serious and organized way. Most schools still don't teach sex education, and many parents still don't discuss sex with their children at home. It's true that the general public has become more aware of negative issues, such as incest and sexual abuse, but with the rest of our information about sex has increased more in quantity than in quality. Though our dreams and fantasies prove our sexuality, most of us give little credence to our own sexual fantasies. Many of us deny the sexual aspects of our imagination. We tend, as a matter of fact, to ignore or fear our fantasies. Often we consider them either a waste of time, a threat to our self-image, or even evidence that we might be crazy and do what we might see in our unconventional fantasies. Many people, for example, feel terribly guilty about imagining sex play or intercourse with someone. But the truth is that we all fantasize, some often about things that have little to do with the actual lives we lead. How exactly do we define sexual fantasies and dreams? Why do we have them? What do they mean? And how common are they? Currently, we don't have the answers to every question about sexual fantasies and dreams. Scientists, often brought up with little sex education themselves, may have been reluctant to inquire into people's sexual lives, but sleep research laboratories in the United States and abroad provided some surprising answers. Although not conclusive, it is a start, providing information about people in age groups from infants to seniors. Sexual fantasies are also known as sexual reveries and daydreams. These are the images that suddenly appear in the private theaters of our minds. They seem to occur in people of all ages, in both sexes and in all cultures. There is some evidence, though, that they are more common among young people and peak in adolescence. The reason for this isn't entirely clear, but it's speculated that the hormonal levels, therefore the sexual impulses, are stronger than we are young. Or maybe today's children are raised in a less restrictive environment than their parents and grow up feeling freer to fantasize. Sexual fantasies may, quite normally, come as fleeting images or may instead be complicated scenes repeated again and again. They may include ourselves or only be about other people. They may repeat a story we have read or seen on television or at the movies. The subject matter of fantasies varies, but can be broken down into general categories that include romantic kissing and touching, sexual anatomy, forced sexual encounters, sex with a stranger, group sex, sex with pain, homosexual sex. All of these can occur in the fantasies of both men and women, heterosexuals and homosexuals. They don't always occur with the same frequency in each group, but fantasies in general seem to be more similar than different. They do not mean, however, that you will do these things. You can control your behavior. Men and women use fantasies using masturbation and also during sexual intercourse itself. The famous Kinsey studies from the late 1940s and early 50s reported that 72% of the men interviewed almost always fantasized when they masturbated. Only half the women in the study admitted to the same. but the Hunt study, reported in the mid-70s, said that as many women as men reported fantasy during masturbation. This change in response suggested that sexual fantasies can be influenced by cultural conditions, or to a greater openness in responding to questions. It may be, for example, that as women's rights have grown, women themselves may have become more sexually liberated, freer to fantasize. Nancy Friday's recent best-selling book, My Secret Garden, illustrated just how prevalent the sexual fantasies of women are. The notion that, unlike men, women are more stimulated by physical contact than by visual images doesn't seem to be true, at least for the contemporary American woman. Research in the 1970s at the Kinsey Institute confirmed this. But many people still feel guilty about their fantasies. Some are simply ashamed of them. Others believe that by fantasizing, they betray their mate. The latter believe that it is possible to sin in one's heart, an idea taught by some religions, as if the thought and the act were the same. Some psychoanalysts before the 1960s believed that fantasizing during sexual intercourse could be a way of avoiding sexual anxiety, punishing a sexual partner, or escaping from the reality of sex altogether. In a few persons, perhaps this may be true, but today, more experts agree that sexual fantasies are quite natural and a healthy mechanism of sexual arousal. That's all I'm gonna read. It's getting to nearly 7 minutes. If you do want to hear the rest, I'll be glad to oblige. Have a good one.